Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
19 days from today, Title 42 may go by the wayside. Here to talk about that is Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Mark, you know, I remember an old 45 that I listened to. Side A was bad, side B was worse. When we flip Alejandro Mayorkas and Kamala Harris, the czar at the border, they're back and forth, bad, worse, bad, worse, bad, worse. I don't know of anything that they've said, but recently Mayorkas was asked about Title 42 going away, and he said they're prepared. They have 19,000 border agents that come to work every day wanting to do the right thing, wanting to work really hard, and they are going to be able to handle it. But yet up until this point, those same border agents are on news stations, local, national stations, saying every day they are not able to do what they're supposed to do. How could someone just lie to the public and say everything's okay, and it's not?
Well, you know, in Mayorkas's defense, I don't think he's lying. And I don't mean that the border is secure. What I mean is he defines his job at the border differently from what everyone thinks his job is. What the law says, this is actually written in the law and what everybody understands the job to be, is operational control of the border. Operational control is like a term in the law. What it means is preventing people from crossing the border illegally. That's kind of what you think of as what the Border Patrol is supposed to do. He, Mayorkas, and actually the whole Biden administration doesn't see it that way. They see their job as processing illegal immigrants who claim to, you know, want to apply for asylum as quickly and efficiently as possible into the United States. So in other words, if that's your goal, then sure, they can handle the surge that will come after Title 42 is repealed, because their job is to move those people into American communities as quickly as possible. That's what they see as their job. And so, yeah, he's sort of telling the truth. The problem is he doesn't see his job the way everybody else does and the way the law requires.
So what happens when you reach the caps? You know, I mean, there's another law out there that talks about how many. Just ignore that?
They're running basically a whole separate immigration system. I mean, Congress has set up a legal immigration system that brings in on a regular year 1 million or maybe a little more legal immigrants every year. It was lower during COVID for obvious reasons, but it'll be right back up this year. But the loophole, if you will, is asylum. Illegal immigrants, asylum is basically an illegal immigrant who says, I'm a refugee, you have to let me stay. Regular refugees are people we choose from other countries in camps or whatever it is to bring here. We can do that well, we can do it badly, it's a whole separate discussion, but we run that. What asylum is illegal immigrants who sneak in. Usually they turn themselves in now to the Border Patrol and say, I'm a refugee, you have to let me stay. and have all the hearing after hearing and all the rest of that stuff. And this administration basically is saying that they're going to facilitate that as much as possible. And so in the first 6 months of the fiscal year, and basically October 1st through March, they took in, or they arrested, apprehended at the border, 1 million illegal immigrants, some of whom were bounced back, but something like half of whom were just let into the country. And so if that continues at that rate, and it may actually be worse pretty soon, that would be 2 million arrests at the southern border, an unprecedented number, 1 million of whom will just be let into the United States. So essentially this and they're never going to leave, even if they come to their hearings for asylum, even if they lose. This administration has no intention of hunting them down and arresting them and throw them out of the country after they lose, as most will. So they're running their own separate immigration system as large as the entire legal immigration system put together. They are doubling annual immigration through their refusal to enforce the border.
So I guess it's easy to put it this way. If there was anyone else running this scheme, this sham, other than the federal government, there would be a federal investigation of them right now, right?
Presumably, yeah. I mean, this is, if you ran a business like this, you'd be in
jail. I mean, if any other third party did what they're doing right now, that there would, the feds would be all over investigating all over this.
Of course they would. I mean, unless they liked the result. And frankly, this administration does like the result. They see, some people talk about the reason they're doing this is that they're importing Democrat voters. Tucker Carlson has said that a lot, and other people. And there's probably something to that, but I don't think that's the main thing. The main reason this administration is doing this is because the people running immigration, this is a mainstream Democratic view now, not a fringe thing anymore. They do not believe that the American people have the right to turn anybody away, that immigration must be unlimited, and that limits on immigration are violations of human rights and therefore can't be tolerated. And even though the law requires limits in immigration, they see it as their mission to subvert those laws and prevent the limits on immigration in the law from being enforced.
So I think you entitled one of your articles that you wrote that their big problem is how to hide it from the public. It's Biden's border plan is to let everyone in, but hiding it from the public is the difficult issue at the present time.
Exactly. This is why they're pushing this idea of having more and more capacity on the border to, quote, process, unquote, illegal aliens efficiently. That's what they're talking about, processing them efficiently. And what they mean is moving them through so that they don't back up. Like in last fall, people who followed this remember there were a lot of Haitians under that bridge in one of the Texas border towns, Del Rio. There were thousands of Haitians backed up there precisely because there were so many at one time. Even this administration couldn't wave them into the United States fast enough. And that blew up in their face politically. And so that's what they want to avoid. They're fine with those 15,000 illegal aliens and thousands of others being released into the U.S. essentially permanently. They'll never have to leave. They just want to make sure it doesn't hurt them politically. And so when Secretary Mayorkas says they have a plan for what they're going to do at the border when Title 42 is eventually lifted, what they mean is they have a plan to not have it blow up in their face politically, but still wave all of these people into the country anyway.
So basically what they want is no drone shots of large groups of people at the border appearing on 5, 6, and 10 o'clock news or cable news channels. That's the goal.
That's what it amounts to, exactly.
That's a sad commentary on the policy of this country. I mean, this runs violative of the separation of powers. I mean, who's the check and balance here? We have all these laws there, been there for years, and we're not adhering to any of them.
It is kind of crazy. And, you know, when Republicans take control of at least the House of Representatives in November, and maybe the Senate, depending on how things turn out, there's some things they can do to try to rein this in. But ultimately, you can't make the executive do his job. Congress can't say, okay, you have to deport this many people. They'll be able to do some things. They'll be able to try to, you know, rein in the administration. But ultimately, the root cause of the border disaster is sitting in the Oval Office. And until that changes, there can't be any real change what's going on at the border.
You know, it's always been the power of the purse, right? But when you right. don't really want to do anything, you've just completely diminished the power of the purse. Because if my goal is do
there.
Nothing, it's still there. But, I mean, if it's to do nothing, the power of the purse doesn't even exist.
Right, exactly. So because when Congress, because Congress controls the money, they can say, you know, you can't spend money on X, Y, and Z. But it's harder for Congress to say you must spend money on this and then follow this policy. That's it just doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really work, because the point of the separation of powers, like you suggested, is that Congress makes the laws and the president and his subordinates carry them out. They execute the laws. But, you know, if they don't want to arrest an illegal alien, what does Congress do? Pass a law saying you have to arrest this illegal alien? I mean, and a law like that would have to be signed by the president anyway. So we're going to be in for like these, you know, government shutdown fights potentially next year, where Congress says, here's the requirements. The president says, I'm not going to sign that spending bill. And then the government, you know, the shutdown, I mean, it's shutdown, you have to put in quotes because it's not really shutdown, but parts of the government shutdown. So we're going to see those kind of fights next year. Ultimately, it can only be changed with new people in the administration and potentially new actual laws passed, because over the past three administrations, most of the immigration policy changes have just been executive actions, because there's too fundamental a division in Congress, a disagreement in Congress about what to do, so they can't pass new laws. So, for instance, not to go into details, but there are loopholes in the law that make this border disaster worse, actually probably help drive the border disaster. The Democrats refuse to plug those loopholes. They just won't do it because they like it the way it is now. And so only with a Republican Congress and a Republican president could those loopholes be plugged. Even then, it's not guaranteed, but at least it'd be possible. Until then, we're going to be, you know, treading water at the border, and it's getting worse every day.
I'm surprised that there has not been some border communities that have just barricaded their towns off and shut it down.
Well,
and, you know, and I'm curious, because if this gets worse, and everyone, no matter what side of the issue you're on, we would call it worse. Others would say things are better by increased numbers. The net effect is, if the numbers increase to a point where everyone believes that it will be, I don't know how they handle any of this. I mean, they're crying mm-hmm. uncle now.
Yeah, and have been for a while. I mean, there's that town where all those Haitians were under the bridge in the fall. A year ago, the mayor there, the Democratic mayor, was just screaming and begging Washington to do something about it, because his little town was overwhelmed with these people. And, you know, it's the local communities are, in fact, I mean, first of all, they got to deal with the people that are in front of them. You know, and most of them are just regular folks. I mean, there are criminals, but most of the people who turn themselves in aren't criminals. They're just regular illegal aliens. And, you know, people just have a sort of natural human reaction. I mean, they don't want them hanging around, but, you know, they're not going to be beating them up or anything either. But what it's doing down there is changing the politics pretty significantly. I was just down on the border last week, and then I'd been down there a couple weeks before that. This is in South Texas, all the way down right near the Gulf of Mexico. And these are 98% Hispanic communities, literally 98%. Everybody there is Mexican-American. They're moving pretty significantly and rapidly into the Republican column. McAllen, Texas, which is the city, the bigger city down there, they elected the first Republican mayor since the Republican Party was founded in 1850. There's a Republican, a Hispanic American woman who is almost a Republican, who's almost certainly going to win congressional seat down there. And there's two others who are running in other seats who could win. Probably not, but they could. The border disaster is actually shifting the politics down there in a significant way. And while the disaster is bad, the shift is actually encouraging to see. People are reacting in a constructive way. They're not going out with torches and pitchforks. They're organizing politically to change policies. And I think, you know, if they stick to it, they're going to succeed.
Well, obviously, for the Democrats, that's an unintended consequence, but
right.
One that I totally understand, because they're living in the trenches, right?
Exactly. I mean, I talked to landowners who actually live literally on the border. You know, a rancher, seventh generation old Spanish settler family, a woman, older woman whose family grew up down there, several other people, grapefruit farmers, a couple that have grow grapefruits right there on the border. They're all just hopping mad. And, you know, they want something to be done about this, because this is not sustainable. And, you know, the administration in Washington doesn't care. And to the extent they pay attention at all, they'll just say, oh, well, they're all racists. Well, how racist can Mexican Americans be to other to illegal immigrants who are also Hispanic? I mean, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. There's really no legitimate explanation for any of it at the end of the day. Mark Krikorian, thank you so much again for your time and your insight. Every time I think, you know, this is looks like it may be slowing down, it's actually getting worse. And I'm not sure where this is going to end. I really don't.
Well, I mean, as it was an advisor to President Nixon, it was actually Ben Stein, the comedian's dad, said, if something can't continue forever, it won't. This
yeah.
can't continue forever, but it can continue for a while. And it'll get better at some point, but it's going to be a while yet.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
All right. That's Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Give us a shout, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are back, folks. So it turns out that the plan is how to hide it from you, to not talk about it, to just move it along from the border as quickly as possible. Title 42 is supposed to go away on May the 23rd. The numbers are staggering. They continue to climb. Obviously, the public is upset about it. This issue is not polling well in this country at all. Now there's been even another little bit of a shift. They're saying that this is actually helping to cure inflation. They're pulling out all the stops. They're just making it up as they go. They don't even care. I mean, that's the that's the incredible thing here, is that they just make stuff up. They say it. They say it over and over and over again. The president has been making stuff up for the last 3, 4, 5 days, just saying it as though it's meaningful. It's not. He just says it and says it and says it until everybody kind of believes it. Let's go to Terry on line one. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Merrill, I've called you before. My son's a Border Patrol agent. We're down in McAllen where that gentleman was talking about. And believe me, the Hispanics down there, the Texicans that were there before Texas was part of the United States, they don't like the illegals anyway. I mean, because they give them a bad name. And I always have one question. How can I be a racist against Hispanics when Hispanics is not a race? It's a nationality. Are they against French people? I mean, because, you know, French is... When the Italians came over here and the Irish, you know, there wasn't, they just didn't like their nationality. So how can you be a racist when Hispanics is not a race?
Well, in today's culture war, the definitions of words are very fluid. And when they have nothing to say in support of our... when they're against something and they're involved in a debate, they just simply label you as being a racist, a xenophobe, a this or that, because they've got nothing to defend where they are on these particular issues.
You know, and like I said, my son's down there, and it's the people that he lives at, the Hispanics that are there, they've been there for, you know, hundreds of years. You know, they don't like the illegals either. And like he said about the farmers report them all the time, cutting through their property and stuff like that. And they find a lot of illegals in their fields because they just let them out there and, you know, they got to round them up. So it's never going to change.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the hypocrisy of this on so many different fronts, that we're looking out for the best interests of a group of folks, but yet we're fostering and perpetuating an environment that has to do with human trafficking, with child abuse, sex trafficking, and the list goes on and on and on, and people think you're actually making this up, but when they all go visit down there and they start talking to all the folks that explain exactly how this happens and shows them and show everyone how it happens, then they come back with a different feeling and a different story. And that has gone on, and it's what the squad tried to do in discrediting the Trump administration down there. And when they found out that a lot of these camps that they were complaining about were actually built under the Obama administration, and that, you know, these practices were started under Obama. I know. I sat on the Homeland Security Committee of the National Sheriff's Association for years. We saw all of this. We understood exactly why the policies were put in place when it became politically unpopular, and then all of a sudden there was a shift. And then we saw that there were bigger issues developing down at the southern border. We saw more importation of drugs. We saw more overdose deaths. I mean, you know, we could connect these dots all day long, but they don't care. They're not listening to any of this. And meanwhile, what's happening in our communities in this country, we're seeing it every day, and people just aren't connecting the dots. And we need to connect the dots. It's why I talk about this issue all the time. I'm not against these folks, but I'm about the safety and security of our families here. And I'm just curious why we are creating a special class that has more rights than citizens. That just doesn't seem fair to me. I don't understand how we can allow these leaders to go about doing this. And they keep doing it over and over and over again. Thank you for the call, Terry. Let's go to Jimbo on line two. Jimbo, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell, great show. Just got one question on the statement. I'm curious about why the left is so
pro-abortion, and at the same time, we're so for young children coming across the border unaccompanied by adults, and we're taking those people in with our open arms, and we can't protect American-born citizens. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, you know, now they're saying that abortion is a racist issue. 7% of the population are black females. They are responsible for 40% of the abortions in this country. And now that they're saying that because we want to do away with abortions, that makes it a racist issue. By the same token, a lot of those in the black community have commented and have been concerned about the stagnation of the growth of the race in this country, because the numbers have been relatively the same for decades, around 13 to 14%, 7% of which are women. Well, you can figure that out real quick. Over the years that Roe v. Wade has been in place, how many hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of black offspring have been terminated under these policies? Is that something that those folks are proud of? I don't know. But I don't think that this issue is being decided by a conservative court on the idea of race. Not now, not ever. And, you know, so it's just whenever we don't have legitimate conversation or legitimate argument to make or a position to expound on, we go right to the race issue over and over and over again. And now I've just started seeing the second series of articles coming out, and it's all about race. It's all about disproportionate impact, that the motivation has to be not that this is a legitimate constitutional issue, because the moment in time that they figure out that there's a lot of Democrats that have said that Roe v. Wade was decided on shaky constitutional grounds at best, it was a bootstrap. Now we got to do the smokescreen and make it about race. And if we can make it about race and cloud up the argument as much as possible, that's the goal. And if we can tattoo Republicans with being racist, that's the goal as well, to try and motivate the base to get out to the polls, because they're not very excited about this president. They're not excited about this vice president. They're not excited about Nancy Pelosi, and they're not excited about Chuck Schumer. So they're just trying to pull rabbits out of the hat to try and stimulate this base to get out and vote, because when all of the polls are indicated, they're not excited about voting Democrat. So they're busy here throwing Hail Mary passes every day to try and score a touchdown. And it doesn't matter who it hurts, how it happens, you know, minimize and destroy the credibility of the court, leak documents. It doesn't matter. It's all about control in D.C. We have worked ourselves into the most bastardized position that we have ever been in my adult life right now. The ends justifies the means. There's no right, there's no wrong, there are no ethics. Who will play dirtier at the end of the day? Because it's all about the W. And the only ones that can turn this around, folks, are you and I. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. Let's go back to the talk lines. Bruce, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. I appreciate it. Thank you, Newell. I appreciate your time. First, on a side note, please continue to have Guy Williams on your show weekly. He's obviously intelligent. He's very articulate. He's very savvy on both the local as well as national political scenes, as well as how it applies towards money. So I just wanted to say that first off.
Totally. Secondly, enjoy the hour with him every Monday at noon.
I record it. So anyway, Yeah, I know. It's a lot. But I just wanted to say, I am not exactly sure which group of people are trying to be incited by people who are claiming racism is what is behind all this Supreme Court stuff. But if that group of people gets incited because of this other group of people calling it racism, if they're that stupid, then they deserve to get whatever they do, because this is not about racism at all. I mean, I am appalled at the fact that this was leaked. I mean, the one institution that you would, we would pray and hope would never be politicized has now been politicized. And I think there's a lot more people than just one that have their fingerprints on this one. Anyway, that's my comment.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I hope I know that the Chief Justice has asked for an investigation. I hope they root this individual out, and I hope this individual gets punished, because the sanctity of the procedures within these institutions are there for a reason. And the internal debate that goes on within the Supreme Court is too important to be leaked out, to try and have political manipulation, to try and create mob rule, and to upset the political discourse in this country. And I don't care how strongly you feel about an issue, we should never allow people to go to this end in order to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. And we ought to make an example out of them.
I 100% agree with you. And I will say this. I would not even rule out the Chief Justice as far as being investigated. Every single aspect of this should be investigated.
Well, you know, I doubt that it's going to be any of the justices. They have too much to lose. Their legacy,
sure.
Everything. You know, they've spent a lot of time on the court deliberating on very difficult issues. It's going to be someone in that second tier, maybe third tier within that court. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, they need to be made an example of. And whatever law they can throw at them, they got to throw it at them. That's how serious this is, that this institution,
to the country,
we cannot let this activist mentality permeate the Supreme Court and try to disrupt the history, the legacy of the Supreme Court. It is something we ought to take the same attitude that they're in the House that they're taking as it relates to January 6th. We ought to take that same approach, that same aggressive nature, the same amount of energy in trying to identify who this individual is and holding them to account, plain and simple.
In the words of a great American who opened my eyes to a lot of politics, ditto, my friend.
There you go. Appreciate the call, Bruce. Have a good week. Meanwhile, Gallup has just released a poll. Not surprisingly, confidence in U.S. economic leaders is flagging. Only 38% to 43% have confidence in U.S. leaders on the economy. Those numbers are sliding, and they're sliding fast. As we get closer or deeper into this inflationary era of the economy that was only supposed to be transitory, what you're finding is Americans don't have a lot of confidence in the economic abilities of our leaders. So just over 4 in 10 U.S. adults have almost no confidence in Biden and Democrat congressional leaders' economic competence, while fewer say the same of Republican leaders, 30%, and the Fed chair, 22%. The public is least familiar with Powell, as 10% don't have an opinion of him. The variations in the confidence level of these key leaders are really driven, once again, in a partisan way, and differing outlooks. Strong majorities of Democrats express confidence in the economic competence of Biden at 80%, congressional Democratic leaders at 77%, and Powell at 61%, while fewer, 19%, are confident in Republican congressional leaders. Republicans are significantly less confident than Democrats in the opposing party's leadership. 6% confidence level, and 8% in Biden, and 31% in Powell, and their own party leaders at 66%. So then they don't believe in their own as high as the Democrats do. So this is not a big surprise. And as we get deeper into these inflationary pressures, if no one believes that they're transitory at this point in time, although they keep trying to say that it is, we know better. All right, we've got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Scoot to see what he has coming up next. Scoot's up next, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
We're going to talk about Mayor Cantrell breaking her silence when it comes to Keyshawn Webster, the guy who was running the Juvenile Justice Intervention Center. But she says some interesting things, so we have an update on that from what we talked about yesterday. Also, cell phone video shows this St. Charles deputy shoving and punching a black woman during an arrest. We'll talk about that. Dave Chappelle tackled on stage during a Netflix event at the Hollywood Bowl. And American Idol's being criticized for airing Lane Hardy's reunion special just after he has been arrested. Were they wrong in doing that? We'll get into all of that this afternoon. Plus, this is the anniversary of the Kent State shooting, so we will touch on that, too.
Sounds like you have a full agenda coming up for the next 3 hours. Stay tuned, folks. Scoot's up next. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you again tomorrow.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.